Carrie Janelle is a folklorist, music historian, and author of 5 books on American roots music. His work has earned him the ASCAP Deems Taylor Award, a Grammy nomination, and 3 awards for excellence from ARSC, with a 4th nomination coming this year. In addition, he's the co-owner of the Origin Jazz Library record label, is editor for the Smart Licensing newsletter, and provides esoteric musical bumpers for ArtSceneCal.com, a podcast devoted to art gallery exhibits in Southern California. His latest projects include a book on Elektra Records' pioneering work in album cover art, a topic you'll remember he covered at our last conference in Seattle, and a box set for Bear Family Records on the influence of Jimmy Rogers on popular music. With what little time he has left after all that, he works for Alfred Publishing Company as its copyright manager. And it gives me great pleasure to introduce Carrie's 6th presentation here at ARSC, Milwaukee's Jack Teeter. Get hep and get happy.
Good morning. Well, I think it's more than appropriate to begin the 41st annual ARSC conference with not only a presentation about one of our host city's favorite sons, but also a feel-good story about a man who loved music and who loved to entertain. For that's who Jack Teeter was. In presenting his life story here today, it is not my intention to elevate Jack Teeter into something that he was not. He was never a superstar, and except for one hit song on the Billboard pop charts, was never nationally known. He didn't blaze any trails, as did people like Bing Crosby or Nat King Cole, but he followed closely behind on those trails, his ear to the ground, listening for what would be the next popular style. In the complex history of popular music in the 20th century, Jack Teeter is but a blip on the radar screen, what is commonly known as a one-hit wonder. But like the proverbial iceberg, there was a lot more to Jack Teeter than his 1949 recording of Johnson Rag, which became a top 10 record, and was heard on jukeboxes throughout the country for a 6-month period. Despite never becoming a huge success, Jack Teeter lived a good life here in Milwaukee. He had many friends, in show business as well as out, a loving family, and above all, did what he loved to do and did it well. His career lasted 4 decades, from the roaring 20s to the turbulent 60s. During this time, he never looked back, never complained, and always proceeded to his next job with, as they say, a smile on his face and a song in his heart. So how did I, a left coaster with a love for corn-pone country, hot jazz, and raunchy blues, become familiar with this obscure Midwestern entertainer who was never on the cutting edge of anything, always just 2 steps behind? When I was a kid, one of the first records I remember hearing was a record on the London label that my older brother would play once in a while. Our grandmother had bought it from a thrift store in Lower Manhattan and had given it to us. For a kid growing up in the early 60s with the usual array of children's records, Disney soundtracks, fairy tales read by movie stars, and various versions of Peter and the Wolf, soon to be cataloged by Dr. Beale, somehow this record worked for me. It was peppy, energetic, and tuneful, with lots of rhythm and a singer who sang with a smile. The record I heard was Meilenberg Joys by the Jack Teeter Trio.
Now there's a tune, a grand old tune, originating down in Dixieland. Eliza Green, the shimmy queen, says that it's just grand. And every night, with all her might, she does a dance that's hard to beat. The way she syncopates, don't leave nothing out. You should hear this baby shout. Rock my soul with the Meilenberg Joys. Oh, rock my soul with the Meilenberg Joys. Oh, play it, baby, don't refuse. Separate me from the weary blues. Hey, 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 hey. Sweet gal, syncopate your papa all night long with the Dixieland strain. Oh, play it down, then do it again. Now every time I hear that tune, good luck says I'll be with you soon. That's why I've got the Meilenberg Joys.
At the age of 8, I had no idea of the history of this song, that it was written by Jelly Roll Morton, that it had been a New Orleans jazz standard since 1925, and that the song was named for a summer resort on Lake Pontchartrain near New Orleans called Milnberg that was misspelled by its first publisher. I didn't know these things, and at 8, I didn't care. But that song stayed with me, and when I finally became a record collector, I started tracking down other songs recorded by this group. As I grew older and more curious and learned how to do research, I began to wonder who this Jack Teeter was, which instrument he played on that record. Was he still alive? Was there a picture of him? And how did he get into show business? Over the years, tidbits of information came my way, and today you get the whole story. John J. Teeter was born on January 6, 1902, in the tiny farming community of Granger, Missouri, located in the northeastern part of the state, 10 miles from Memphis, close to the Iowa border. The 2000 census showed that Granger boasted a population of 44 people, so we can be pretty certain that 100 years ago, Granger was anything but a thriving metropolis. As a young boy, Teeter always loved music, but his first inspiration was an itinerant black fiddler who used to perform at local dances in his hometown. In a 1984 interview, Teeter remembered this musician.
Yeah, it was an old blind fiddler, neighbor. We used to congregate in town on Saturday nights. Everybody that could play any instrument congregated there, and we just had a little set too.
Jack's daughter Beverly talked about this musician also.
No, he was an old black man, and that's all I know about him. He was very old, and apparently he was probably maybe an ex-slave, for all I know. He was very old, and he was a blind guy. And he was just playing on the street corner for little nickels and dimes that people would put in his hat. And that he would watch this guy, and he just got interested in music. I guess he liked the rhythm.
In a newspaper article from the 1940s, Teeter said that he and the black musician played dances together in Missouri, with Teeter accompanying the fiddler on banjo guitar, playing folk songs such as Turkey in the Straw, Lead Her Up and Down, and The Old Brass Wagon. Although it is doubtful an interracial duo such as this would be tolerated at this time when the Ku Klux Klan was at its peak. It is unfortunate that the radio interview we heard, the only one known to exist of Teeter, included so little commentary by Jack. The hosts of the program seemed more interested in providing melodramatic build-ups to the records they played than to ask meaningful, insightful questions of Teeter and letting him say more than, "That's right," in response, or, "No, that's not quite right," when answering ill-informed questions. As a result, he was given little opportunity to say much about his career. Still, with material from the Teeter family scrapbook, provided by Teeter's daughter Beverly, who is here with us today, we can fit together most of the pieces to the puzzle of Teeter's life. In time, Teeter learned to play the banjo and began accompanying himself by singing. When he became a young man, he found that he had a mellifluous tenor voice, able to sing folk songs and parlor tunes with ease. In 1919, he left home to join the Navy, serving on the USS Wyoming for the next 2.5 years. By the time he got his discharge, his parents had moved to Rush City, Minnesota, located in the middle of the state near the Wisconsin border. It was there that Teeter added ukulele and four-string guitar to his musical arsenal. He would never play anything but four-string instruments after that. Teeter's first music job was part of a duo with a musician named Stu Johnson. Together, the two performed on radio throughout the Minnesota area. By 1926, Teeter was out on his own, singing and playing on WCCO radio in St. Paul. This is the earliest known photograph of Teeter. He appears confident and professional, a lanky, good-looking young musician of 24. The same shot was used in this newspaper clipping from later that year, promoting Teeter's appearance at a local event for Minneapolis station WAMD. Teeter spent the next year playing his banjo and singing evenings at theaters, dances, and civic events, while working at various non-musical jobs during the day. His next job was on WEBC radio in Duluth, singing, announcing, and working with an orchestra at the Hotel Duluth. This led to his being hired in 1927 to join a dance band in Superior, Wisconsin, called the Boys from Illinois, or maybe they pronounced it the Boys from Illinois, which had a regular engagement at the Ritz Hotel. Teeter can be seen second from the left with his banjo. It is not known how long Teeter was with this band, as there are no details of his whereabouts for the next 2 years. In the meanwhile, Teeter somehow found his way to Grafton, Wisconsin, where he made his first record, joining the prolific hillbilly duo of Frank Welling and John McGee for two recordings for Paramount, billed as Welling, McGee, Teeter. Welling and McGee had been playing in vaudeville and theaters in the West Virginia area, with Welling learning to play Hawaiian-style steel guitar. Between 1927 and 1933, they recorded some 300 sides for four different companies, making them one of the most frequently recorded acts of this era. It is not known how Teeter became acquainted with Welling and McGee, but it is not surprising, since they often recorded with other vocalists. At the session in Grafton, Welling and McGee also made their famous Hello World Doggone record with KWKH founder W.K. Henderson. After they made that side, McGee took a back seat as Teeter sang harmony with Welling and then stepped in to sing the tenor solo on the parlor song Back to the Harbor of Home Sweet Home. Months later, in December 1929, Teeter was back in the Paramount Studios, but this time recording on his own. He made one record which was issued on Paramount and Broadway of two war horses, Silver Threads Among the Gold and When You and I Were Young Maggie. The record was issued in Paramount's Hillbilly series, suggesting that Teeter was making one last stab at conquering the rural market. The result was unremarkable, and the record went nowhere. During this period, Jack Teeter worked in a variety of day jobs while pursuing his show business career, even driving a beer truck for Chicago gangster Al Capone. Anything to keep food on the table for him and his wife Bernice, who he married in 1927. It was probably in December 1929 that Teeter was asked to join the popular Bill Carlson Orchestra as a featured singer, guitarist, and banjoist. After the stock market crash, it is plausible that Teeter felt he needed a more secure income, and so he abandoned his struggling solo career for the time being and joined Carlson. Born in Kansas City in 1904, Bill Carlson came to Milwaukee in 1924 or 1925, where he joined a dance band led by Fred Dexter. This group became the house band at the Wisconsin Roof, a ballroom on the roof of the Wisconsin Theater. When Dexter gave up the band in 1926, Carlson took over. That fall, he made his first recordings with the group, now called the Wisconsin Roof Orchestra. By 1929, Carlson had one of the most popular dance bands in Milwaukee. It is likely that Carlson, sensing the growing popularity of crooners like Bing Crosby and Rudy Vallee, was searching for a tenor to feature with his orchestra and heard about Teeter, already a seasoned radio veteran in Wisconsin. It's even possible that Teeter and Carlson knew each other already, and that Carlson was helping his friend out by hiring him. In time, they became good friends, their relationship lasting long after Carlson's orchestra broke up. Carlson would later become a weatherman on WTMJ radio and television, and it would not be presumptuous to assume that Teeter had something to do with it. Teeter spent the next 2 years with Carlson, a time during which he expanded his repertoire to learn not only standard dance band tunes, but early jazz as well. It was at his first session with Carlson, around December 1929, that Teeter first recorded Meilenberg Joys, albeit without a vocal. Although Bill Carlson's Wisconsin Roof Orchestra was capable of playing hot jazz, their fans preferred the sounds of sweet dance bands, and Jack Teeter played a major role in the group's success during this time. This 1930 clipping showed that Teeter was being featured not only as a singer, but also in spots playing guitar and banjo. It was with Carlson that Teeter first showed his ability to anticipate the changing tastes of his audiences. As Carlson's resident crooner, Teeter rode the Crosby Valley bandwagon to become one of Milwaukee's most familiar voices. By this time, he had abandoned the banjo, preferring the softer sound of the guitar, which better accompanied his singing. In one newspaper interview, he stated that he didn't like personal appearances, nor did he need to imitate what he called calisthenic singers. Radio was his favorite medium. He liked being able to sing softer than he had to in a noisy ballroom. This recording, made for Paramount in February 1930 and issued on the Broadway label, is more typical of what the Carlson Orchestra and Teeter sounded like during this period. Despite his disdaining calisthenic singers, Teeter showed a tremendous range on his records with Carlson and the effortless ability to easily move from a baritone to a near falsetto. Sometime during 1931, Teeter left Bill Carlson's orchestra to go out on his own again. It is not known why he would make such a move at the depth of the Depression, but it's possible that he was emulating Bing Crosby, who left the Paul Whiteman Orchestra to become a star on his own. Teeter's next recording session was in 1931, again for Paramount, and with his records issued this time on Broadway's Popular Series. In listening to this rare disc, we can hear Teeter experimenting with the sound of Joe Venuti's Blue Four. Probably accompanied by members of Carlson's orchestra, Teeter's two choruses of the song Me surround a hot instrumental break by the band. The song was a rare flop written by Irving Berlin, who was going through a dry spell of his own at that point in his career. But for the first time, we can hear evidence of Jack Teeter's love for rhythm and his expertise as a guitarist.
Not to him, not to her, not to them, not to these, but
In that year and in 1932, Teeter made several more similar appearances on record, all issued on the Broadway label. With Paramount's demise in the summer of 1932, Teeter's recording activity stopped abruptly. He would not make recordings of any kind for another 17 years. But his appearances on Milwaukee radio continued, and although he remained popular, his career seemed to have no direction. He even adopted a pseudonym in order to get more jobs. Newspaper reports show Teeter working under the name Norman Raleigh. On March 4, 1933, Franklin D. Roosevelt was inaugurated as America's 32nd president. Less than 3 weeks later, he signed the Cullen-Harrison Act, permitting the sale of beer with a limited alcohol content of 3.2%. On April 6, a day that was dubbed Brew Year's Eve, Milwaukee station WISN hooked up with the CBS network to present a tribute to this first step in the repeal of Prohibition. On this history-making program, the first network broadcast in Milwaukee, Jack Teeter sang a new song written by a Milwaukee resident named Eric Carl entitled Thank You, Mr. Roosevelt. As photographers' flashes went off, Teeter hoisted a glass of Milwaukee's finest brew in front of a portrait of a beaming President Roosevelt. He then vanished from the scene once again, only to emerge in late 1934 with a group of his own. Teeter always had his ear to the ground, looking for the next big trend in music. Crooning was still big, but Teeter had not made any headway as a solo vocalist. With his love for rhythm, his ever-increasing repertoire of songs from Tin Pan Alley's golden age of the 1920s, and his experience in the Bill Carlson Orchestra, Teeter became a fan of the many dance bands that were getting larger and more sophisticated. One group that he especially favored was the Casa Loma Orchestra, the Detroit-based organization that sprang from the old Gene Goldkett group. In 1934, Jack Teeter decided to form a swing band, originally calling it Jack Teeter and His Teeter Tots, and finally changing it to the Isle of Dreams Orchestra. The group began broadcasting on January 7, 1935 on WISN, playing regular dances at his old haunt, the Wisconsin Roof. The band became so popular that by the following January, Teeter's program was one of three Milwaukee shows picked up by CBS to be broadcast over 30 stations in the Midwest, Far West, and South. After two broadcasts, response to the program was so positive that the orchestra was asked to do a tour of Nebraska. Jack Teeter had sensed the coming explosion of swing music and organized his band at just the right time. Within a year, Benny Goodman played the Palomar in Los Angeles, and the swing era was on. Milwaukee audiences became familiar with every member of the Isle of Dreams Orchestra, and profiles of them were featured in local newspapers. Teeter handled most of the vocals, spelled by the Harrison Sisters, a trio modeled after the Boswells. Dances were broadcast live from the Wisconsin Roof on WISN, with Teeter occasionally hosting talent contests as well. Newspaper accounts compared Teeter's big band to the Casa Loma group, predicting that Teeter would lead the first national name band out of Milwaukee. Meanwhile, the controversy over swing music raged in the press and from fans of the more sedate dance bands that used to play in Milwaukee ballrooms, just as a similar furor over rock and roll would emerge a generation later. In an interview, Teeter defended the music by predicting, "We've had swing bands before and we'll have them for a long, long time to come, perhaps even more of them than ever before. The old fans of the original Coon Sanders Nighthawks, the Louisiana Red Devils, the Seattle Harmony Kings, and Red Nickels Five Pennies have found new favorites in Benny Goodman, Tommy and Jimmy Dorsey, the Casa Loma Band, and several others. They've done a great deal to popularize swing music and to make the way easier for other bands using that style. And the general public likes it. Over at the home show, which we just finished playing, we found that just as many middle-aged people like the swing style as younger folks. I don't believe everyone will ever like swing music, but it certainly has a following big enough to warrant its growth." In interviews, Teeter himself predicted that swing music would be all the rage in 1935, and he was right. Moving over to station WTMJ, the Isle of Dreams Orchestra became Milwaukee's most popular big band, but eventually, when all signs pointed to national fame, the group broke up. Beverly Teeter told why.
The funny part is, if he would have been, when he had the Isle of Dreams Orchestra, he would have been on the road, except that the wives of all the members of the band refused to let them go on the road. That's what wrecked that whole swing career with that band, because he was one of the first swing bands, you know, along with Benny Goodman and all of them. But it's too bad that happened, but it's the way it went.
Despite being together for 3 years, Teeter's big band made no commercial records, and there are apparently no transcriptions of any radio broadcasts, ETs, or live performances, unless somebody out there knows of one. Teeter's repertoire was standard for the period, including many songs that he had learned during his time with Bill Carlson's orchestra, including Deed I Do, Bugle Call Rag, That's a Plenty, etc. Other than a few mentions in newspapers of songs played by the group, we have no real concept of what they sounded like. However, there was no denying its popularity in the Milwaukee area. After the breakup of his big band in 1938, Teeter continued broadcasting on WTMJ, occasionally leading an orchestra, but becoming more popular as the Song Doctor, on a program in which Teeter responded to personal problems posed by listeners by composing a musical remedy on the spot. According to WTMJ's ads, if the Song Doctor failed to answer a problem, the listener would win a dollar. The gimmick worked. Teeter's charm, congenial personality, and good humor won over the fans who were mourning the loss of his big band, and the Song Doctor program flourished for several years, proving to be a salve for Milwaukeeans who were nervously dreading the coming conflagration in Europe. In 1943, Teeter initiated a new program entitled Milwaukee Through the Years. This weekly show featured Teeter performing songs from Milwaukee's earlier, more innocent days. By this time, Teeter had become somewhat of a music historian, becoming familiar with songs dating back to the Civil War. Nothing escaped Teeter's catalog. He performed everything from folk songs and weepy parlor ballads to the early jazz and swing tunes he learned while leading his band. It was about this time that Teeter sensed another change in the public's musical taste. The big band era was wearing on, but Teeter noted the growing popularity of smaller groups in nightclubs and restaurants, groups such as the Nat King Cole Trio, pioneers of the piano guitar bass format. These groups were not only easier to manage financially, but provided Teeter with the opportunity to perform in the more intimate style he preferred than as a big band vocalist in a ballroom filled with hundreds of people. So sometime in 1943 or 1944, he formed the Jack Teeter Trio, which included two musicians recommended by his old friend Bill Carlson, who had been working as a flight instructor during World War II. The two musicians, pianist Bob Prouty and bassist Bob Earhart, joined Teeter in developing an act based on lively songs, solid rhythm, and good humor. One of their first gigs was playing aboard the Milwaukee Clipper, a restored cruise ship that ferried passengers and automobiles across Lake Michigan between Milwaukee and Muskogon. Now a National Historic Landmark, the Clipper was noted for being christened in 1941 with a bottle of milk rather than champagne. For the next 5 years, Teeter honed the act, becoming one of the top groups performing in Milwaukee clubs. He used his vast repertoire of songs and the response to his Milwaukee Through the Years nostalgia program to utilize a new idea for his trio, presenting Tin Pan Alley songs from the teens and 20s with a new modernized sound. Armed with a demo, he made the rounds of several major record companies, but rarely got past the receptionist. Although Teeter was a star in Milwaukee, no one in any other state had heard of him. In July 1949, Teeter was still looking for a way to break through to the mainstream when he contacted an agency in Chicago whose practice was in building up the reputation of local performers. The agency put Teeter in touch with the small Sharp record label in Chicago, which signed the trio to record Two Sides. The song Teeter wanted to plug to local DJs was Back of the Yards, a nostalgic tune about the good old days in the neighborhood behind the Chicago Stockyards. If there was such a thing. It wasn't that song that caught the attention of the DJs, however. It was the flip side, a reworking of an early jazz tune called Johnson Rag. Written in 1917, Johnson Rag originally had no lyrics. But in 1940, the instrumental was revived and turned into a hit by Larry Clinton's big band. The song's publisher, Robbins Music, contacted lyricist Jack Lawrence, asking him to write words for the song. Today, Jack Lawrence is 95 years old, and through his website, he answers questions about his career, which produced many hit songs over the years, including All or Nothing at All, If I Didn't Care, and Sunrise Serenade. Lawrence wrote the following to me. The publisher who held the copyright called me to turn Johnson Rag into a singable song. I thought I would have some fun with this short rag and wrote a nonsense verse and music plus a musical release for the chorus. At the time, nonsense songs like Mersey Dotes were in vogue, so I used a lot of current sounds like hep hep and hoy hoy and even invented a few of my own, including Don't Be a Mokes. My version of the song was out there for quite a while until Jack Teeter, who I had never heard of, recorded it and sent it on to glory. Well, Jack Teeter's recording of Johnson Rag was just different enough to catch the attention of the public. Teeter's personable, friendly voice had deepened over the years. No longer a tenor, it had the intimacy and warmth that could have only come from years playing small clubs and performing on the radio. The combination of Teeter's vocals with the hot rhythms of his guitar, Prouty's effervescent piano, and Earhart's slapping bass symbolized the youthful enthusiasm of the post-war small jazz groups and the nostalgia for the jazz standards of old. The cheerful, infectious song was irresistible.
Hep, hep, there goes the Johnson Rag, hoy, hoy. There goes the latest shag, ho, ho. It really isn't a gag, hep, hep. There goes the Johnson Rag, jump, jump. Don't let your left foot drag, jeep, jeep. It's like a game of tag, juke, juke. It's even good for stag, jump, jump. Do the Johnson Rag. Now if you're feeling in the groove, send you out of the world. Funny how it makes you move. But don't want to coax, but don't be a moke, zig, zig. Then add a zig, zig, zag, zoom, zoom. Let your shoulders wag, zoom, zoom. Now it's right in the bag. Get happy, get happy with the Johnson Rag. Shag, ho, ho, it really isn't a gag, hep, hep, there goes the Johnson Rag, jump, jump, don't let your left foot drag, jeep, jeep, it's like a game of tag, juke, juke, it's even good for stag, jump, jump, and do the Johnson Rag, now if you're feeling in the groove, send you out of the world, funny how it makes you move, I don't want to coax, but don't be a moke, zig, zig, then add a zig, zig, zag, zoom, zoom, let your shoulders wag, zoom, zoom, now it's right in the bag, get happy with the Johnson Rag. Funny how it makes you move. I don't want to coax, but don't be a moan. Zig, zig, then add a zig, zig, zag. Zoom, zoom, let your shoulders wag. Zoom, zoom, now it's right in the bag. Get happy with the Johnson Rag.
With a couple of fresh pressings of the sharp recording of Johnson Rag under his arm, Teeter called on some of his friends in the jukebox business, who put the record in their machines as a favor to him. Then Teeter called all the disc jockeys he knew in Milwaukee, who put the record on their radio programs. By the end of July, Johnson Rag was on every radio and jukebox in town. The song began to be noticed in Chicago. As requests poured in, the Windy City became mad about Johnson Rag. At the end of August, Sharp called the new American subsidiary of England's London Records, which bought the rights to the Teeter record as well as other singles he had cut for Sharp that summer. Seeing that Johnson Rag was becoming a sensation in Chicago, London got on the stick and rushed out a repressing of it. The label had better national distribution than Sharp, and by the end of September, Teeter found himself, at the age of 47, a national celebrity with a top 10 record. For the next 5 months, Teeter broadcast on WTMJ on the Rhythm Club, which spotlighted his new recordings for Sharp, now reissued on London. The sound of the Jack Teeter Trio was enhanced by Bob Prouty's use of the Solovox, a device manufactured by Hammond between 1940 and 1948 to be used to accompany a piano with organ-type lead voices. The three-octave, short-eyed keyboard produced sounds using vacuum tubes and was stored on a sliding mounting under the piano keyboard with a knee-operated volume control. Thus, Prouty could play both instruments at the same time, filling out the sound of the trio. Here's one example on one of Teeter's records of the sound of the Solovox.
Back of the yards, back of the yards, the old days were a treat. Jim O'Leary would take any bet you could make. Near Rutan, Halstead Street. Be it a...
And yet, another different sound. After their first recordings, Teeter added a reed player for his sessions, who played mainly clarinet and occasionally tenor sax. A drummer was occasionally used, but the rhythm came mainly from Teeter's guitar and Earhart's bass. After he signed with other labels, he even included a rockabilly-style electric guitar on some of his records. While Johnson Rag was riding high on the charts, the Teeter Trio made appearances around the country. Teeter took his wife and 18-year-old daughter Beverly along on the tour.
In fact, with the Johnson Rag record, we went on tour. It's kind of like a combination vacation promotion tour for the record in 1950, early 1950. And we took a trip the northern route all the way out to California, and then we took Route 66 back, and we stopped at every radio station, every DJ, and he had his interviews on radio, and it was quite the thing. I mean, that was quite a tour. We took 2 months doing it.
For the next 3 years, the Jack Teeter Trio continued the formula of reviving standards from the teens and 20s using Teeter's souped-up arrangements. The style was hard to categorize. Kansas City Kitty became a favorite with Western swing audiences in Texas, while some of the more energetic tunes even foreshadowed the coming rockabilly trend of the mid-50s, one that Teeter had become very fond of. It was the ultimate blending of styles, country rhythm, old jazz tunes, an up-tempo, uptown sound, and the pleasing vocals of Jack Teeter.
So you think I'll sit around and cry the day you say toodaloo goodbye? Oh yeah, take another guess. So you think no one can fill your shoes when you're gone, I'm gonna sing the blues. Oh yeah, take another guess. If you go dream train, please turn on your steam. Morning will soon end my dream. Stop when a sweet old lady hollers, welcome my dream train. There's a little white house on a little green hill where the red, red roses grow. There's a little white light in the window tonight, and it shines for me, I know. Now eyes like searchlights in the night, gorgeous teeth and snowy white. Have a look, you gunman, ball and chain. Oh, she's a sunny gem to me, tons of personality. Have a look, you gunman, ball and chain. Oh. Oh, I've got a bimbo down on the bamboo aisle. She's waiting there for me beneath the bamboo trees. Believe me, she's got the other bimbos beat a mile. She dances gaily, daily. She'd make a hit with Barnum Bailey. I'll build a bungalow. Cause when I'm paddling, Madeline home. Gee, when I'm paddling, Madeline home. first to kiss her a while. And when I get through, I paddle for 1 mile and drift back for two. And I keep paddling. On the hill by the old town chapel, those evening bells would chime. I'll always remember that golden November, sweet cider time when you were mine. I left Frisco Kate swinging on that golden gate, when Kansas City Kitty smiled at me. Oh, I left Moe and Paul way out in Omaha, when Kansas City Kitty smiled at me. Oh, she came from Missouri and she showed me, like a Texas steer, she buffaloed me. Now every Jim and Jack knows well no hack and sack, when Kansas City Kitty smiled at me. Oh, take your girlie to the movies if you can't make love at home.
Listen for the change in the lyrics.
Pick a cozy corner where it's nice and dark. Don't catch influenza kissing in the park. Take your lessons at the movies and have love scenes of your own. Though she's not a pretty little movie star, close your eyes and think you're kissing Hedy Lamarr. Oh, take your girlie to the movie if you can't make love at home.
After Johnson Rag's six-month ride on the charts, Teeter tried following the record up with his next release, Take Another Guess, backed with Meilenberg Joys. But the bloom was off the rose, as they say. During his years in Milwaukee, Teeter had gotten to know many top musicians and actors as they came through town. One of these, actor Dennis Morgan, invited Teeter to come to Hollywood to plug his records. According to bassist Bob Earhart's widow, Teeter spent about a year in Hollywood, but was unwilling to grease the palms of the disc jockeys to play his records. He returned to Milwaukee, reunited with Prouty and Earhart, and made several more singles for a couple of local labels, and even a one-shot single on Brunswick, the trio playing clubs for several more years before they finally broke up for good around 1954. Prouty and Earhart continued playing together while Jack Teeter opened a Milwaukee supper club, performing as a single and with other musicians. He continued making personal appearances until his retirement in the 1960s. In 1967, Reynard Records, a local label, issued a souvenir LP featuring pirated dubs of the trio's Sharp and London recordings. It was Teeter's only appearance on an LP. He made a few local appearances during his retirement, including guest shots on local radio shows. On this program, the 81-year-old Teeter joyfully sang his one and only hit.
He goes, Johnson Rag, jump, jump, don't let your left foot drag, jeep, jeep, like a game of tag, juke, juke, even good for a stag, jump, jump, do the Johnson Rag, now if you're feeling in the groove, send you out of the world, funny how it makes you move, I don't want to coast, but don't be a mo, zig, zig, then add a zig, zig, zag, zoop, zoop, and let your shoulders wag, zoom, zoom. Now it's right in the bag. Get happy with the Johnson Rag.
Jack Teeter died in a convalescent home on December 12, 1987, at the age of 85. Some of the people who knew Teeter recalled that he was a perfectionist, a taskmaster, and a stickler for detail, demanding nothing but utmost professionalism from those who worked for him, from his arrangements of their material right down to the polish on their shoes. His lack of national success may have been caused by his refusal to compromise his ideals or play the game. Throughout his career, Teeter acted as his own agent and arranger, which also may have contributed to his limited success. As a result, he remained Milwaukee's own star, unknown outside of Wisconsin except for that brief period during 1949 and 1950 when Johnson Rag ranked with the likes of Frankie Lane, Teresa Brewer, and Perry Como, in those transitional years between the swing era and rock and roll. Although Teeter's failure to become a nationally known figure was the music industry's loss, it was Milwaukee's gain. And Milwaukeeans will always remember the verve, energy, and optimism of Jack Teeter. Beverly Teeter summed up his life and career.
It didn't matter to him whether he was famous or not. It really didn't. He just did what he liked to do. He loved music. He loved to entertain people, make them laugh, and make them dance. He loved it when he could play music and have everybody out there dancing. That was his life.
What a grand and glorious feeling. Can't believe the night's gone by. Just another round together. What's it gonna be? I'll buy.
Just a little nightcap, you and me. Then a little short one, two or three. Just a little tune before we go. Something kind of sweet and low. Just a little nip. Cause it's time to say goodnight. Till we meet again, so long farewell. Just a little nightcap, pal, sweet Adeline. Just a little nightcap, pal.
I'd like to introduce Beverly Teeter. I have a presentation for you, your own copy of My Little Bimbo Down on the Bamboo Isle. Thank you. Okay, let me get out of this.